It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Sielski, Glenn Macnow, 94 WIP. We'll get to the callers again in one moment. Before we do that, I just want to kind of go through the array of teams. We're only on until 11:30 today, so I feel like we got to get a lot of stuff out quickly. So let us do it. The Sixers win last night. Well, they beat a bad Orlando team. But they win. Shake Milton has the game of his lifetime. Tobias Harris, 23 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. They are playing without Joel Embiid, James Harden, Tyrese Maxey, Matisse Thybulle, and they're winning. Do we make anything of this?
I think what we make of it is that you see kind of the maximization of what Tobias Harris can be, mm-hmm. in a way. We were talking about this before the show, about how he seems to, more than even Tyrese Maxey, seems to fit what the Sixers need from him, given the team that they have on the floor that night. When they have their full complement of players, he spots up and shoots three-pointers. When they don't have those top three guys, he can do a lot of other different things. And I think the fact that he has a max contract gets held against him in some respects, but all in all, he's
not a really good player. It doesn't as much now because they have other players who can take that pressure.
Right.
And so he's not expected to do as much. I think people forgot about it. It's like a couple years ago when he was the number two option, mm-hmm. and he wasn't suited to be the number two option. It's great he did it yesterday, and that's, you know, you needed somebody to step up, and he did. But when he was like the second guy, that didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth in that. And he was really good in that game against the Nets, and mm-hmm. they needed him to be. You know, when he left the game because of the ankle injury, yeah. and then came back and yeah. was the best player on the floor.
Yeah, that game was such a letdown. They won the game, and that was great. But it's like Ben Simmons became passé all of a sudden.
You know, I think the other part of it, too, is that, remember, a year or two ago, the Wells Fargo Center kind of reaffirmed the behavior policy at the place, and apparently I wasn't there that night, but every time a chance started to go up.
You're talking about this week or the year ago?
I'm talking about the a year ago, the Wells Fargo Center reaffirmed the policy.
Yeah,
about,
I remember that.
Yeah, and then the other night at the Sixers-Nets game, anytime a chant would start to go up,
that right?
they would put the policy on the
video.
Oh,
come on, man. So, are you kidding me?
No, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. If somebody's
listening know that.
And can correct me if I'm wrong, please do.
I know they have the policy. There are parts of the policy I certainly agree with. I'm not calling for boorish, horrible fan behavior, although soon we will finally recollect a game where that occurred. But you got to be able to give it to Ben Simmons full throttle when he comes in.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I wonder if that dulled the atmosphere at all.
If anybody was there, was that Tuesday night?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. If anybody was there Tuesday night and noticed that as part of it, please let us know. All right, other thing I want to get to. The Flyers have now lost 9 in a row.
Yes.
I think the highlights for the season are over. I think that kind of they started quick out of the gate, fell on their face, and they are not getting up.
Not even Carter Hart is saving them at this point.
And I feel so bad for that kid.
I do too.
He's
his numbers are dropping, and it's not really his fault.
No.
at all.
No. They're cooked. Which I know is what you have wanted all along.
They need to be cooked this year. They probably need to be cooked next year, and probably need to be cooked the year after that. It's just the way of the world in the National Hockey League.
You're calling for the full tank process,
Glenn.
The whole deal. I know.
We don't have hours to spend on this today.
No, I don't want to have the philosophical argument over that. So, but we just agree they're going to be terrible in there.
Yes.
Get a high draft pick and hopefully not blow that one. Okay, third thing. You or your kids watching the World Cup?
My older son, Evan, who is 11, is waking up each morning, coming downstairs, getting himself his breakfast, and putting on the World Cup.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Each of the last three or four mornings, he's gotten into it.
Mr. Soccer?
Well, no, Mr. Geography. He and his younger brother, Gabe, who is 8, are very much into geography, and they know all the flags of all the different countries, and they know a lot of facts about all those countries.
They play Worldle?
They do, and they are so much better at it than I am. It's embarrassing.
San Marco.
Yeah.
How did you know that?
Yeah. On the one hand, I'm very proud of them.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, I am very embarrassed for myself.
That's all right. When your kids get smarter than you, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
So they're not per se soccer, but they love the spectacle,
exactly.
Which really is a very cool part.
It is.
We can ignore that it's in Qatar and they did all these horrible things and it's a repressive, horrible country, blah, blah, blah. Listen, I am not a soccer fan. I think everybody knows that from me being on the station over the years, but the spectacle of an event where you have this many countries in the world is pretty cool.
I regard soccer to be a communist conspiracy designed to inculcate the youth of America with the values of collectivism and flopping. So I'm against soccer.
Oh, God, I saw one of those yesterday. Just a horrible flop.
I can appreciate that people love the sport. It's not something that I'm into to the degree that a lot of people are. I watched the U.S.-England match yesterday, and 0-0. I'm watching it, and I can understand how gifted these athletes are and how much skill it takes, but it's just hard to watch for me compared to basketball hockey or football.
Yeah, nobody ever scores. I agree, and again, I've been down that road enough times. I don't want to insult soccer fans at a time when it is a great world event, and so enjoy it. And I actually have watched a little bit. My grandson, who is 10, was very into it the other yesterday, so I watched a little bit of it with him. And I'm like, good. Let's all enjoy it.
Yep.
And they tied England, which is pretty good. It's like a bunch of Brits coming over and tying the Eagles in a game.
I saw something on Twitter yesterday that they tied England, and England had a 13 colony lead, and we still managed to come back. So, God bless the USA.
3-year Letterman, is that who wrote
that? Yeah, something like that.
Kevin in Overbrook, you're on with Mike and Glenn. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Kevin.
I hope your Thanksgiving was well.
Thank you.
Thanks, too. You too, man.
Okay. Now, my question to the both of you is this. Are the Eagles a true 9-1 or a weak 9-1? And I say that by prefacing by saying this. When the Eagles were 2-5 last year, they gave up 80% to basically every quarterback that was a known quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, they played Jared Goff twice, Tyler Heineke three times. They played Kenny Pickett. They played Cooper Rush. They played Davis Mills. You're going to play who's on your schedule.
Yeah.
But they're not playing the caliber of quarterback. So whereas if you already won on one side of the ball, which their defense is good, now all of a sudden come playoff time and you're going against that known quarterback,
yeah,
what happens?
Yeah, well, hopefully that would happen last year against Brady. So your point is well taken, and you actually said it correctly, which is you can only play the teams that you play and the quarterbacks that you play, but you're looking ahead and thinking at some point they'll play a quality quarterback. So, Kevin, my question for you is, tomorrow it's Aaron Rodgers in town, Hall of Fame quarterbacks, one of the 10 best quarterbacks certainly over the last 30, 40 years, right? We all agree on that.
True.
If they beat Aaron Rodgers tomorrow, will Kevin from Overbrook feel, okay, now I'm feeling good about this?
The reason why I won't is because a broken clock is right twice a day.
I thought you were going to say broken thumb.
Yeah.
He's got a broken thumb, which I think may enter into what happens tomorrow.
So,
Need to do it several times. Prescott. I'm trying to think of who else. Daniel Jones doesn't count. Tannehill doesn't really make it for you. Who makes it for you?
But you have no one else on the schedule, so that's the thing.
There you go. Well, 15-1, pal.
That's just it, Kevin. I was looking
61,
over.
Excuse me.
I wasn't looking over the Eagles' schedule, but I have the standings up in front of me here, and going through each team and the quarterback of each team that they could encounter in the playoffs. Does Jimmy Garoppolo scare you? I think the 49ers would scare you for reasons other than their quarterback.
Correct.
But see, that's where I disagree with you on that. You give any good our average quarterback weapons, they become better. Look at Jalen Hurts. Last year, he was average. You gave him weapons, now he becomes good.
Yeah, but I think it's Garoppolo not just – but hold on, because I'm going to give you all the time you need, but I want to disagree with you on this. Yes, you give him the weapons, and he becomes good. That's clearly it helps him. We talked about A.J. Brown. But I also think his maturation is he is becoming an excellent quarterback, not just because of his weapons. Can we agree on that?
Absolutely. Okay. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Okay.
But you give any quarterback legitimate weapons, they become better. So now they got Christian McCaffrey. Now they got Deebo Samuels back. Now Ayuk is playing better. And everyone says, well, they beat Arizona with Colt McCoy. Or going back to the Eagles comment, what quarterback had the Eagles face this year that they beat that was of quality? Jared Goff.
Kevin, I hear you, and I appreciate your call, and I guess the answer is we'll find out, right? It's you can't say that they won't be able to beat the good quarterbacks because they didn't do it last year. This is an entirely different defense than it was last year. What, six starters on the defense are different than they were?
Yep.
So that being the case, you can only speculate. He's right. They've had a pretty lucky – they've had good four. They didn't even play Prescott when they played Dallas.
Right. Right. And they shut down – and again, I understand the reaction that's going to accompany what I'm about to say, but in week two, they did beat – Kirk Cousins and the now 9-2 Minnesota Vikings. Now the Vikings are 9-2 and have basically given up the same number of points that they've scored this season, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But Cousins is a better than average quarterback.
A good quarterback.
Yeah.
He's having a great year. I don't know if you're looking at the stats, but last time I checked, he had one of the best quarterback rankings in the NFL.
And he went into Buffalo and outdueled Josh Allen.
Yeah.
So he can put up numbers on a given night, and they did a good job in week two shutting that team down.
All right, do me a favor. Let's take a minute here. Get me the standings, and let's just go over the best teams in the NFL. Let's start with the NFC and how many actually really good quarterbacks there are, because I think part of what's going on is there's most of the good quarterbacks are in the other conference right now.
Yeah, I think that's true. So the Eagles, let's start with the NFC. Yeah. The Eagles are obviously the best team at 9-1.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings are 9-2. We just mentioned
I think
Kirk
Cousins. He's very good. He's, you know, people underrate him. Because he's kind of a putz, but he's a good quarterback.
Yeah, and it's the same dynamic we just mentioned with Tobias Harris. You're evaluating him based on his contract, too, as opposed to just who he is.
Right, okay.
So there's that. Dallas is 8-3. Dak Prescott's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
The San Francisco 49ers and Seattle Seahawks are both 6-4.
Right. Geno Smith is having a very good year. I don't know how good he is. He's having a very good year off the scrap heap. That's good.
Yes.
Garoppolo, you said, is average to good. Maybe good. Again, nobody elite. I hate the elite quarterback word, but nobody yet who, like...
Let's put it this
that's
way.
That's the guy who's going to kill you.
The 49ers like Jimmy Garoppolo so much that they traded up the draft Trey Lance and were going to start him this season until he got hurt.
Yep.
So there's that. The Giants are 7-4. You have Daniel Jones.
Nah.
No, I'm not a believer.
No.
I'm not a believer. No. I just think he's too
not
inconsistent.
Horrible, but yeah.
Actually, the next team with a winning record is your Washington Commanders at 6-5 with Taylor Heineke.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So they're better for not having Carson Wentz in there.
There's not a quarterback here yet. There's a couple of good ones. There's nobody here who's going to the Hall of Fame.
Well, so that's the thing that we're unaccustomed to here, right? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 5-5
right,
with
Brady,
Tom Brady.
Right.
The Green Bay Packers are 4-7 with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
You know, Justin Fields has been playing better lately, but the Bears are 3-8.
And now
he's
out.
Hurt.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles Rams, the defending Super Bowl champs with
he's
Matthew
out.
Stafford.
Right.
He's out, and they're 3-7.
He may be done for the year. So there are two quarterbacks in the NFC who have been great, which would be Brady and Rodgers, and we don't know what they have left or their teams have left.
Right.
The next best quarterback among those you mentioned would be, to me, either, Cousins
or Prescott.
Or Prescott. Cousins or Prescott. Yeah,
I would take Prescott.
Okay, that's fine. And Prescott is good. He's not great. To his point, there's nobody great in the NFC quarterbacks.
Correct.
It's there for Jalen Hurts.
It is.
Hello! 215-592-9494. Coming up, we're going to do our Shive Sports This Week in Philadelphia Sports History. Don't go anywhere because it is indeed a fun one. And then we get to talk about somebody who played in that game or with somebody who played in that game. Hey, for most business people, a meeting with their banker can be like a trip to the dentist. But talk to Meridian customers, you're going to hear a different story. Their business lenders come at things from your point of view, and they bring a ton of useful guidance and advice. But mostly, they're a genuinely fun group. I speak from personal experience. Hey, the word is getting out. If you'd like to take the stress out of your business banking, Meridian is the go-to bank. MeridianBanker.com.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.